Wei kastang deniu atau jenis yang itu boleh imit teh oleh cini tetu cetap kas mengarah kastang deniu kasar tangan ini nak itu ye asal bih tiga gergele tos ngoh nemit teh eng sektan deh mengarah agu tos nenai agu tos nenau tak paka manut tegi muci genyorune eng tetu dikjatak cai suldae agu eng bet tabrani kemit teh ak Sofia bekele nenenet ko agenge eng cium mengarah ini klinatin missing goi entrepreneurs cik kasuldae tetu tiket ter agu juti missing sektan nautak neba kasuldae ta mengarah kebay cium musang nati tap kasari nanan technology nega gemuch ke nyurung studio ne nyane teng betabrane asukobit keguye sabeni agena gele tos kitaunano akwano. This is Cass FM International. Today we are privileged to have Sofia Bekele in our studios. Take this opportunity to say hi to our listeners.
Hello, Cass, thank you for having me.
Just a bit of an introduction. Tell us about yourself. Who is Sofia Bekele?
I'm an Ethiopian born. Born and raised in Ethiopia, went to United States for higher education, studied information technology, and did my master's and so forth, got certified in various fields of corporate governance. I started out as an IT auditing professional and moved on through the ladders to management and various industries, banking and consulting and so forth, and set up my own business as CBS International in the U.S., to do a technology transfer to Africa. My passion for Africa started then and continued almost for a decade, and now doing various other projects that's related to Africa.
Just in brief, what is CBS all about? What does
CBS
it do?
CBS International is a private entity based in San Francisco Bay Area, and we've been doing technology transfer for the last decade and using Ethiopia, obviously, when I first started, as a base to do a lot of projects, international projects. We focus mostly on what I call nation-building projects. So we've done projects, for example, that is sponsored by UNOPS, UNDP, African Union Internet Infrastructure. We're the first company that, in fact, put in internet connectivity for African Union, and then we moved on to other projects with national projects within the country, and then we have a vision of connecting Africa through through the internet and ICT capabilities, using regional integration as a basis for reasoning to provide technology, as well as now in the internet, trying to give Africa one identity through the dot Africa domain.
Mm-hmm. You were once named by Capital Ethiopia newspaper as African champion for digital age. Comment on this and briefly tell us your role in technology world today.
Well, I tell you, I started out in technology, yes, when I was in the U.S. So, as you know, U.S. is at the forefront of technology, being based in Silicon Valley, close to that. You can't help but learn to be an expert user as well as participate. My company, CBS International, is usually we do audits of large-scale organizations, Fortune 500 companies. So we are at the forefront of technology deployment. And so when we come to Africa, I've been advisor for like the United Nations. I've been advisor to UNECA, for example, that's based in Ethiopia, but overall United Nations in New York and so forth. So it provides an opportunity for me to actually learn what's in the USA and what's out there and see how it could be applied to development. And my third world, obviously, technology interest started when I set up CBS International as a basis for implementing technology for Africa. So really, my vision always is on the development side and always looking at what's happening in the USA and see how it could apply it in Africa.
I'm interested, at what stage in your life did the entrepreneurial ability came up to, did you realize your entrepreneurial potential, and how did you go about nurturing it, especially from an African continent?
Okay. Well, like anyone else, I worked for corporate America, again, Fortune 500 companies, which you sometimes, as you move on the ladder, you learn things repeat themselves. Even though you're even moving up the ladder, you still becomes process-oriented and your creativity gets stifled. So you want to get out and do your own thing. And in a way, also you want to get in touch with the people that are actually doing things. So you want, instead of process-oriented environment, you want something that is quickly be able to realize the output of what you're doing. So in that sense, I think my entrepreneurship started as a result of the frustration that came with not being able to have the creativity I wanted in the when I was working for the big, larger companies. So by setting up CBS International, I said I could put together everything I want, wear one hat, and we started out small. And we start doing a lot of large-scale projects and seeing something from the top and being able to put things together using the connections you have to influence provide a concrete result is one of the most rewarding experiences for me.
Yeah. It must have been an honor to be appointed the policy advisor for the Internet Corporation for assigned names and numbers. How did you feel about this, and how did you go about it in terms of your role at that particular stage?
To be on point on that, actually, somebody recommended to me it will be a good area because of my exposure and in the U.S. and as well as my exposure in Africa, saying that I could contribute much to the African atmosphere. And so I looked at it. I was familiar with the ICANN policies and rules because my company, CBS International, used to do website hosting, and we were resellers in Africa, building websites and so forth. So I said, okay, I know who ICANN is. Let's see what the policy development is all about. And it was very interesting to me because I had already been a policy advisor to UN ECA before that. And I know what policy means in terms of changing people's lives and critical milestone in development, because without good policy, you can't really implement something good. So in that sense, I was privileged to be an advisor, and I was an advisor to the GTLDs, what it's called Generic Top Level Domain Names, which is .com and .org and .africa, .asia. So when .asia actually was even coming through the application process, we were able to see the process and how it's done. So in a sense, I could say I do have accumulated the expertise for GTLD. And so while I was there, actually, when I saw .asia and also .EU being implemented, I said, does Africa has one called .Africa? And then that's how it all came about. People said, yes, you can do .Africa. So I had to devise the fastest way to go through, because agreement is required in terms of endorsement from individual countries. Asia did it by, getting endorsed 13 countries or so forth. So I said, I know an organization called African Union. They're based in Ethiopia. We've done work for them. Their mandate is actually to coordinate governments' agreements and so forth. So I said I went to African Union and went to the relevant commissioner, infrastructure, and worked almost a whole year to make them understand what it is, going back and forth. And finally, we got the recommendation and the support of that commission to the chairman's office, and then the chairman's office approved it, which is the actual commission. And so we're very happy. That means we got endorsement from 53 countries. Sometimes it gets contentious still to get the agreements and so forth, because the awareness is not there, and that's what we're doing here in Africa, trying to create the awareness and the campaign for the benefit, so that all governments understand what it is, and all governments sort of see the value of what .Africa is, and this is the campaign that we're having.
It seems so. That .Africa is what is occupying your mind at the moment. I'd like us to know the far you've gone in terms of success, and whether this is linked to your visit to Kenya.
Definitely is. Actually, I'm calling Kenya my second home. I may start other businesses than just .Africa, but it's a great place to be. But the whole thing, yes, started out. My shift to .Africa started 2 years ago when I know that the license is being issued, and we cannot miss the boat for Africa at this point, because we've already not applied in the last 10 years. Nobody did anything about it. So I figure we can't miss the boat. We are on the fast track. And so I put all my energy trying to get the requirements of what needs to be done, so I can kind of approve our application. And the biggest thing is the endorsement, and then there's the technical and financials, which is not as challenging as the others. So, and also just to tell people what .Africa is, and create the awareness and see the demand, just grasp the whole. It's a huge initiative. It's continental, so there's a lot of effort to be done behind it, and I think we have accomplished maybe 60% of it, or maybe almost 80 by now, because aside from the endorsement and the support that we're trying to get from people, a lot of the things we've accomplished is just being on the campaign trail, going from place to place. As you know, it requires a lot of financial resources, and we've put that, and it requires a lot of time and effort. So I'm full-time on this, and we have few people helping us. We have a board of advisors that are professionals with an ICON and others that are giving their what I call trust fund time to the project, so we could really bring up Dot Africa to the high quality projects, internet initiatives that Africa deserves, because it's an NGO. We put an NGO together, a nonprofit, which is the whole idea is to actually get. Usually through a nonprofit, you don't have stakeholders. Shareholders. You have stakeholders instead. So the benefit goes to a stakeholder. And so the reason for putting that is when we actually get the registration for Dot Africa, we will eventually put the monies that come out of it to feed back to the other communities on ICT and internet communities that are building innovative projects, and we feed the monies back to that. So it's a great project that, first of all, brings, because we're going to have the registry in Africa, we will get the opportunity to fight capital flight, in a sense, because everybody's registering, giving their money to the .coms right now. So in that sense, we're very pleased to do that. And then we have what we call Generation Dot Africa theme, which we put together under the Yes Dot Africa campaign. That's what we have labeled it. And a lot of people are pouring in saying yes to the initiative to show us support. And we think that it's really a project of the youth, because it's going to empower the youth eventually to develop products and services over the internet that would have the Dot Africa name. So that's very key in moving forward. So we've mobilized Generation Dot Africa. So that's very, very important to us, and we get great feedback on that. And the other one is, of course, the default branding products and services of African names and things is very, very key to bringing Africa in a positive light and making known these are products of Africa. So it's good for exports, trade. It's what, you know, the global world wants. So, and in a sense, also it helps, I always say, regional integration, because when you are launching a product in all the continental Africa, what you're really saying to people is we have a continental presence. And so all these things are really beneficial. I can't see any risk to this project.
Sophia, there's always been an argument that we lack content in Africa. As an expat, do you think we have all it takes to bring the dream of Dot Africa to come true, now that we know that little resources have been set aside by governments and even institutions to work on content, especially in Africa, apart from individual efforts like what you're doing right now? Do you think we're up to the task?
I think we're up to the task. It's the right timing. Very good question. That's all we talk about, content, but the will, again, is governments to provide the broadband. Broadband is, I always say, it's like water, electricity, and so forth. A lot of governments are, you know, have their own initiative of doing broadband right now, thank God, to the initiative that was undertaken by ITU a few years back to raise the awareness of having a broadband to the heads of state level. So again, we go back to policy. If policies don't change at the government level, it doesn't affect the masses. So what's happening here in Kenya, huge broadband initiatives, which is we're very pleased, and it's going Uganda. All East Africa is doing really great on that. West Africa has started all of that as well. So in a sense, when Africa start integrating and putting together all this fiber and everything works, hopefully in maybe 3-4 years, then we can put as much content as we want, and the reality of the dream of Dot Africa will be realized sooner than later.
As an expert, what technology do you think is relevant to Africa today, especially in handling the challenges of social, economic, and political challenges that we're facing in Africa as a continent?
I think social media is one of the biggest technology that we need to adapt. It's easy to communicate, it's easy to collaborate, It reaches out to masses of people. As you can see, even it has affected political reforms, voting, and so forth. So for Africa to be really part leapfrog through, just like we did from the telephony, from the fixed telephony to the mobiles, I think leapfrogging through the social media system and adapting it and embracing it at a corporate level as well as universities and pure communication level is very, very key. It promotes integration of economies. It promotes collaboration, communication. So I think social media will be the next thing.
Yeah, how far are we as a continent in embracing technology as at now, in your own analysis?
My own analysis is when I think of African governments, the ICT ministries and the ICT sector, thank God for organizations like UNECA, which I give credit to, have really, over 10, 15 years ago, has jump-started what they call the NICI systems, which is the National Information Technology Communication Programs that really invited all the ministries and advised the ministries on the importance of telecommunication. So I think telecommunication sectors and as well as ICT sectors, ministries are becoming very, very relevant versus the old industrial activities in Africa. So in that sense, if the governments are highlighting that, which is going positively, I think it will contribute back to the people.
How do you rate Kenya in as far as technology is concerned compared to other African nations in terms of know-how and even the skills?
You're going to make me in trouble because I'm doing a continental work here.
Don't mind.
I think Kenya rates excellent right now. You are in the, out of 10, I would say you're 9.5.
That's pretty well. If you are to explain to a layman the potential that technology has in liberating them economically, especially Africans, what would you tell them?
Wow. First thing that would come to my mind, it was really going on in North Africa right now. I don't want to be political, but there's in elections and politics, if those things are managed properly in Africa, it goes back to good governance. We have good governance, the economies are managed, but we don't have good governance, it's not going to happen. So the way I see it, technology is enabling, it's surpassing the economic sector, which is mobiles and internet, and actually impacting political reforms. And that is really where I would say we're on point.
Yeah, I know we don't have to sound political, but kindly comment on the role of technology in Egypt recently.
Egypt, Tunisia, the same thing. The fact that the governments have closed down or have claimed, allegedly, closed down the internet was bad news. But soon enough, they opened it up because they know that they could not control it. It's the same as the WikiLeaks that happened in the USA. So internet is not to a point where it's creating the fear factor for the governments on how to actually manage. Should they be the owners of technology or should it belong to the masses? There's that issue. But believe it or not, I think there's an expression that says you cannot fight with million soldiers on ideas whose time has come.
Mm-hmm.
So technology is an idea whose time has come. And social media is an idea whose time has come. Nobody can reject it. No force of power can stop it. So with that, I would think that that's where we're at with technology right now.
What potential do you think exists in Africa that is untapped?
Potential? Oh, many things. Natural resources from oil, diamonds, and minerals, many, many other resources outside of that technology can use to actually introduce to the forefront of what, like the Dot Africa saying, minerals, Dot Africa, where are the minerals? And, you know, that sort of thing to actually bring in to the forefront of people and communication. So there's huge, huge opportunity. There is agriculture, productivity to be improved in the agriculture section. So many things, so many investments that could be made in Africa that is untapped. All we need is really a good image, get rid of the barriers for the global economy to integrate with Africa, show the good images of Africa and what we have, the products, the people, the talent, the drive. We're one of the most hardworking people in the world. The amount of time it takes Africa to produce something versus U.S. or any other Western world in terms of in terms of because they have the capacity to produce more and we don't, so we have to work 3, 4, 5, maybe 10 times harder to produce. And imagine if that energy was more utilized in an efficient manner. So I won't say Africans are, or the perception of the skill sets of African has been negatively
portrayed.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Thank you.
Talk of image. How do you reach the impact of the right image of Kenya, of Africa? If we were to brand the right image of Africa through Daughter Africa, how would that impact in the rest of the world?
I think it's a huge. First of all, it's a united voice. It gives a united image and united voice, right? Daughter Africa. And plus, imagine if people, when they're Googling, search engines are always going to be the way people find things on the internet. If you're Googling something in Africa and you're looking for shoes made in Africa and you have something shoes.africa registered and all the shoes under and that probably goes in there, imagine the potential, which country and, you know, and so forth. So I think people don't know what we have. People don't know if we have resources. People don't know what kind of products we produce. People don't know the talents of Africans. And, you know, we're known now for little weaving and doing these kind of things. But imagine the actual technology that could come out of Africa to heal cancer, to so many things that Africa has in terms of talent, expertise, and that is not known to the world. And Dot Africa is a brand that actually would say, hey, we're here, these are who we are. It's like showing the world in one domain, just like a continent, going there and saying, this is who we are.
Let's go back to your mission in Kenya. At this particular point, how would you rate it?
I just came a couple of weeks ago. This is after a trip from Tripoli. We announced the Yes to Dot Africa campaign for 2011 in Tripoli, so we're very happy, in front of the leader, actually, so it was kind of exciting. And so the next trip I took was Addis Ababa, that's for the AU meeting, and then here I am for reinforcing what we've done, because Kenya is our base for, just so if you don't know, is our base for Dot Africa. And we've registered it in Mauritius, but Kenya has been the base for our activities all over Africa. So we're hoping Kenya is very supportive enough to allow us to launch Dot Africa when we actually get the license.
So why did you choose Kenya?
Great infrastructure, talented people, particularly the infrastructure was the really attractive. This is an internet project. So even myself at a personal level, when I actually traveled to Kenya first and I came here for a speech, and I spent 2 weeks just communicating with the U.S. everywhere, and I saw the internet. I was like, wow, this is much better than other places I've been. So it really drives business, because the cost of doing business in other places is very high. And if you are living in internet economies like us, where you spend almost nearly 200% on your internet, there is no way you want to pay, you know, that much money. So you can see the cost going down when you're in Kenya. And that's why I loved it. I say, wow. And then the talented people, a lot of things are getting liberated in Kenya. The media is very liberal than many places that I've seen. And so it's very comfortable place. It's sort of European. I shouldn't say it in that way, but it's almost like for a person who's lived overseas and who've been accommodated to the, you know, to certain standards, so Kenya meets that standard, so you should be very happy. Now you make me biased now.
It's a pleasure to have you in our studio, but one would want to know, what next for Sophia Bekele?
For personally, Sophia Bekele, I am pregnant with Dot Africa right now. Until that baby is born, I probably won't, I cannot separate myself from that project. So I will be pushing on until that gets done, sweetie. That's all I can tell you.
Parting shots.
Lovely. See, this is that an English thing? I would say thank you, Kenya. You guys have been great. Please support us on our Yes to Dot Africa campaign. We launched it here last year, and we will continue to work and make Kenya our home. And that's all I would say. Generation Dot Africa, please come and visit and include yourself in the Yes campaign. And I would like to hear this room say yes to Dot Africa.
kastaindet nyu notok ko Sofia Bekele, ne inendet ko chemung'oroindet ne naat kot missing eng ng'ony komugul, ne kikosuldae tetutik che terter eng tokwek che terter missing ko netinyegei ak musoknotetab kasari, ako miu asikobit kwalda notok mung'aret ne lel ne naat ko .africa. Nitok ko domain ne takyingei koger kole kagon katuiyetabkei eng kwenutab emotinwekab Africa asikomuch koitchi biikab Africa logoek che miachen ne naat ko African Information Society, ne takyingei koger kole kaituiyo emotinwekab Africa koek kit agenge asikobit kong'alale tuget agenge akoboisie musoknotet ne notok agenge ne naat ko .african domain. Ko kastaindenyu chotok che kakimuch keibun eng betutab rani kikurena June Chepkemei, ne nitok ko kakimutu Sofia asikonetech akobo tetutienyi ne takyingei koitchi biik bilionit agenge eng emotinwek 55 ne naat ko 5 billion people 54 countries 1 domain. Akoi tun getuiye Seregon nyo.